Okay, Rabotai, I just want to, first of all, thank you all for coming. I know the weather's not that cooperative tonight, but Hashem tesu that mitzvah. Although, even though it's very quite clear, the Maharshal in the Sefer Yamshem Shlomo, in the seventh perek of Masechet Baba Kama, writes that a siyum masechet is very much a seudat mitzvah, but the poskim are not very keen on, in general, on those who specifically target the 9 days for their siyumim, especially if that's not the regular course of their learning and didn't come out like that, it wasn't coincidental, and they invite a lot of people and whatever, because that kind of, you know, the reason why we don't eat meat in general during these 9 days is really in reverence to a Gemara, Masechet Batra, it's coming up, Daf Samach Amud Bet, the very last daf actually in the third Perek, Cheskat HaBatim. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yoshua, who lived through the Churban Bet HaMikdash, he was one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi Akiva, he had a little disagreement with the Prushim. The Prushim were a very dedicated, zealous group of Jews that lived in during the time of the Churban Bet HaMikdash. And like everybody else, they took the Churban very, very hard. And because of that, they started making all sorts of takanot to commemorate the Churban Bet HaMikdash that the Chachamim weren't necessarily so fond of. For instance, they said post-Churban Bet HaMikdash, no more meat. You can't drink meat anymore, and you can't drink wine. Why? Because they said meat is representative of the Korbanot. The Mizbeach is barren now of Korbanot, Nesachim, libation offerings. So he says, how can we now go and eat meat and drink wine? So Rabbi Yoshua, who understood that they meant well, they were mitkaven l'shem shamayim, but he explained to them that really this chumrah was misplaced and it wouldn't be maintainable. Why? He says, for the same price, if we're talking about the Mizbeach and we're talking about the Beit HaMikdash, so he says, you shouldn't eat bread either, because the Shulchan is now bare of the Lechem HaPanim, and you also shouldn't eat fruits, because Bikurim are not being brought to the Beit HaMikdash anymore, and you also shouldn't drink water, because there's no more Nisuch HaMayim during Chag HaSukkot. You know, really, if that's really the way you want to go, then you should, you know, kind of drop dead. Just do it. Now, obviously, he meant it facetiously, but the idea was that there are certain things, you know, you don't overdo it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to live, obviously, with the Tzad HaChurban, but also to function as normal people with that Tzad in mind, working towards the Geula. But because they had a good Ta'ana, the Mizbech is bare, so the Chachamim said, you know something? We'll give the Prushim 9 days of the year. When's that? They wanted no meat and no wine. So they said, okay, we'll give you the 9 days preceding Tisha B'Av, Chodesh Av, which is the epitome of the Avelut of the Churban. We'll give you those 9 days. And that's where the Minhag came from. It's not Minadin. According to the letter of the law, the Gemara says, it's a Mishnah, Masechet Ta'anit, Daf Kavav, that meat and wine are really only Asur during the Seudah Mafsekit. Anything else, Shavua Shechalbo, you know, there are other Minhagim. There are people, the Rama brings down that there are those who are noheg not to eat meat for 3 weeks from Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. Different minhagim applied to different segments and times in Am Yisrael, but point being that one time during the year where we harp on very, very seriously the Tzad HaChurban, so we abstain. Besides for those Seudat Mitzvah. You know, it's kind of interesting that when the Poskim say that if a Seudat Mitzvah happens, a legitimate Seudat Mitzvah, Mila, Pidyon, which are mitzvot bizmano, Siyum Masechet, and actually, by the way, this is, you know, how it came out, actually was coincidental, but a Seudat Mitzvah that comes out like that, the Chachamim said, that's part of, even now in the crux of feeling the Churban, the Chachamim still said, you still have to celebrate Seudat Mitzvah. It's an interesting thing. How come they don't say, okay, you know what? Mila, pidyon, do the mitzvah, but don't have the seuda. Chachamim didn't say that. Or if there's a siyum masechet, okay, be misayim, but just don't make a seuda. No, it doesn't work that way. Because what? Anytime we do mitzvot, that's cause for celebration. in spite of the fact, and it's not contradictory, they're not mutually exclusive. You can still be mourning the Churban Beit HaMikdash while celebrating the Zechut that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us to do mitzvot. So Masechet is really one, you know, front and center among the Seudot Mitzvah. Because over there, it's not just a celebration of mitzvah. It's a celebration of the Torah itself. It's not... There's a Gemara. The Gemara says, Masechet Shabbat, that every time a Amar Abaye Tetili, Dechimisayen Tzuba Min Rabbanan Masechet, Avidna Yomat Tava Li Rabbanan. He says that when any of the Bnei Yeshiva used to be Mesayim a Masechet, Abaye says, I would make a seuda for the entire yeshiva. Not only the person who did it, not only his class. He said he would make it for the entire yeshiva at great personal expense. Abaye says, that's my zechut. Why? For what reason? Why do you need to make such a big deal for somebody being the same in Masechet? The answer is because not only for the person who made it, but for everybody else, you want to endear the Torah Kedoshah to everybody. You know, it's one thing. Why is it, you know, the Rashi Tevot, I think I've said this before, the Rashi Tevot of the Satan's name. The Satan has a name. You're not allowed to say it any time, especially not at night. Samach Mem Aleph Lamed. That's his name. Rashi Tevot. It's an acronym for Siyum Masechet in La'asot. The Satan especially hates. He can't stand when people make Siyum Masechtot. Why is that? The actual learning itself. Okay, whatever it is, it is what it is. But the learning itself can be cumbersome. The learning can be heavy, can sometimes feel very, very heavy on the person. So even though there's tremendous sahar, but the Satan sees, at least you're suffering. At least you're suffering like that. When it comes to the Siyum Masechet, you did what you needed to do. You learned, you suffered, and now you're celebrating? The Satan can't handle that. He says, I can't handle that you're making a celebration out of the Torah. Or any other mitzvah for that matter. The Milah. You did the mitzvah to Milah, okay, go home. What are you celebrating? Whatever other Seudat mitzvah we're talking about. Weddings, there are obviously, you know, Seudat mitzvah, but the Minhag of Am Yisrael is not to hold weddings during this time anyway, because it's not such a siman tov. But when the Satan sees us not only doing the mitzvah, not only learning the Torah, but celebrating it, enjoying it, really, showing its kim chayinu v'aruch amenu, that pushes him over the edge. He's not able to comprehend that. You might have noticed that the siyumim that I made this evening were on Masachtot of Talmud Yerushalmi. It's a pet peeve of mine. For whatever reason, you know, unfortunately, in the Welt, Talmud Yerushalmi may not be as popular as Talmud Bavli. I mean, there is reason for that. Most of the halachot that we follow come from Talmud Bavli. The format of Talmud Bavli is a little bit easier to understand. There's more mefarshim on it, as opposed to Talmud Yerushalmi. There's girsa changes everywhere. It's hard to understand. In every kimat, on every daf of Talmud Yerushalmi, all of the mefarshim that you do have on it, each pull the sugya in different directions, completely different from one another. It's a very, very tough limud. But it's interesting, you know, especially in the galut, and especially when the galut is, you know, feels very dark. It feels like a bleak place. My happy place, to remember, you know, there's a mitzvah. A'alet Yerushalayim anosh simchati. There's a mitzvah, no, never to forget Yerushalayim. Yeah, there's, in Al Na'arot Bavin, David HaMelech also speaks about it. Hashem yashavnu gam bachinu bezuchrenu etzion. Yerushalayim, you can never let that, you know, leave your memory. So, you know, if we're not in Eretz Yisrael, you know, in Eretz Yisrael now, Achenu B'nai Yisrael are suffering tremendously. So how... Everybody has to have their connection to Eretz Yisrael. So some people eat falafel, and other people, you know, whatever, buy elite Turkish coffee. Everybody has their thing. My thing is I learned Talmud Yerushalmi. I feel, mamash, that's my thing. You're exposed to the Amoraim, the distinct Amoraim that only come up in Talmud Yerushalmi. You feel mamash, you see it's in Kesarin, in Tveria, in Tzipori. It's like you're walking the streets of Eretz Yisrael with the Tanaim and Amoraim guiding you. And every time I sit down to learn, I envision that I'm in Eretz Yisrael, already in Olam Haba. In Olam Haba with the Tanaim and Amoraim, and we're sitting down to learn, which is really the way the world is supposed to be, were it not for all the tikkunim that we have to make in the world. But, you know, especially during these 3 weeks, I think it's apropos that a siyum like this, on a Masechet of Talmud Yerushalmi, happens during the 9 days because it's especially, you know, poignant and prudent to be me'orer ourselves during this time, you know, What's your connection to Eretz Yisrael? What do you feel? What do you, you know, the people in Eretz Yisrael, they're investing their blood and their tears and their sweat in Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. We don't necessarily have that. So what are we doing in order to connect? By the way, you can connect Eretz Yisrael through Talmud Bavli as well. But when you're doing Talmud Bavli, you get a glimpse of what was going on in Bavel at the time. In order to know really what was going on in Eretz Yisrael, you got to learn about the life and times and the halachot and the da'ot, the opinions of Chachmei Eretz Yisrael. You see throughout Shas that there were several Amoraim, Rabbi Zerah, and others that had such a chishik, they had such a desire to leave Bavel and go to Eretz Yisrael and to forget everything they learned. Rabbi Zerah fasted 40 days in order to forget Torah Bavel, so you'd be able to properly absorb Torah Eretz Yisrael. The Torah of Eretz Yisrael is pure. It's interesting. Even if you look, you know, the Gola also has Talmidei Chachamim. There are Talmidei Chachamim in Chutz La'aretz as well. But the Talmidei Chachamim that Eretz Yisrael produces, they are untouchable. You can't even compare the quality of the Torah and the mitzvot and the Talmidei Chachamim that are produced in Eretz Yisrael. Shtabach Shemo, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us such an Eretz Chimda. Look what a little piece of land and what a tiny nation a Kadosh Baruch Hu made us and gave us Eretz Yisrael. And look, the entire world is on fire because of us and because of Eretz Yisrael. Can you imagine? That's all they can talk about. You know, the Russian Ukraine is already off the map. Yeah, nobody cares about that anymore. And all the hungers and genocides and whatever and who knows what. And Somalia. Everything, every piece of news, anytime you hear everything is what? Is the Jewish people? Is Israel? Because that's the way that's... Chimdat, kol ha'olam, the entire world realizes that there's something special. There's something significant about Am Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and they realize that they are guided by the Torah. Because as soon as Am Yisrael veers away from the Torah, then we kind of lose our claim to Eretz Yisrael. Because the only point of having Eretz Yisrael is that it should be the headquarters of being able to be mekayim the Torah mitzvot that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, which ultimately cannot be, you know, fulfilled completely outside of Eretz Yisrael. So whether you're making siyumim, you're learning Yerusha, it doesn't matter what it is. Find your thing. Find your connection to Eretz Yisrael. What is your thing? Everybody has, you know, what is your connection to Eretz Yisrael? What is your connection to the Geulah? You know, Eretz Yisrael and the Geulah are synonymous because the Geulah, the point of the Geulah, it comes to fruition, it manifests itself in Eretz Yisrael. That's where Olam Haba happens. In Eretz Yisrael. So where's your Geulah? Where's your piece of Geulah? Where's your stake in Eretz Yisrael? What do you have? It's a time to reflect on that and to, you know, it's cause on the one hand for terrible mourning and lamentation, which is what we do during these 9 days, but it's also cause for tremendous celebration because we already are so batuach in the Geulah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that, you know, it's cause for celebration now too. That's why the Chachamim didn't abolish Seudot Mitzvah during this time. On the contrary, if it happens, the Chachamim encouraged it. They say, do it. Rabotai, that is, you know, the time that we find ourselves in now. It's a time for reflection, self-introspection, to look inside and see, what is it, you know, how are we living? Sometimes it's a yearly reminder of sometimes we get too comfortable. Sometimes we let our minds veer too far from the end game, which is Olam Haba, Eretz Yisrael, Beit HaMikdash, that's what it is. Everything else is just noise. Everything else is just a distraction. You know, Chutz La'aretz, houses, Parnasa, all these things are distraction. The main event is preparing for that entry to the Geulah. And if a person, you know, the more we think about that, the more we usher it in. Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to see how prepared we are. And when we, you know, when we show him, yeah, Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're living in it. Everybody in his own way, not... You know, everybody has their own way of preparing. Some people have their suitcase. Some people have properties. Whatever it is, but the idea is to show HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm ready. I am. Whatever you bring my way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm ready to take it on. I thank you all for coming tonight and joining me in this tremendous simcha. It's one of the very few things in life. If you know me at all, one of my, I don't have many hobbies, but one of my own. I told you, my feel good place is when I'm able to retreat. To my sfarim, to my limud, to my ktiva, that's where I feel best. That's, you know, that's a place where nobody can hurt you. That's a place where nobody can touch you, where you can't feel frustration. Take it from David HaMelech. You know anybody in life that had a harder life than David HaMelech from the day he was born until the day that he died? One tzara after another. One unending saga of tzarot was David HaMelech's life. And he says it best. Lule turatcha she'ashuai azavati be'oni. He says, what do you think he didn't? He wasn't on the verge of breakdowns. You don't think he could have went out of his mind from tzar? He says, absolutely, I could have. But if not for the Torah anchoring me and giving me that solace that he so desperately needed, how do you think he was able to cope? You know, everybody has, they speak about that today, coping mechanisms. What's your coping mechanism? What's your stress ball? You say, how do you keep it together? Today, we're all into mental health. Yeah, everybody's mental. Yeah, so that's... Everybody's mental health. I'm not, whatever, okay. Yeah. There's a much bigger push on mental health today than it used to be once upon a time. You know what I'm saying? Mental health, that's a big thing. You know, one of the biggest gulot that people are missing when it comes to mental health, you want to keep it together, you got to connect to something higher. If your end game, if your world is just olam hazeh, and you have no higher calling, you have no connection to a higher authority, then, you know, you're basically a goner. There's not much you can do. Just, you're awaiting your breakdown. But if you're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the only way to do that is through His Torah Mitzvot and Tefillah and Emunah Bitachon, if you're able to have that connection, then you're able to hold it together, because at the end of the day, you understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us. He knows what's best. And eventually, come what may, Hashem's going to help me out of it, whether it's the way I understand it, the way I want it, or not. Hashem's calling the shots anyway, so it doesn't really matter. That's the only way, really, to hold it together. So I thank you for visiting me on this happy day. It's not really a happy month, but at least a happy occasion to a little bit, a break in the clouds, some rays of sunlight. That's what it is. But Be'ezat Hashem, hopefully we still have some time. Tisha B'Av, we already have a promise from Navi Zechariah, along with other public fast days. Yule Bet Yisrael, Sason L'Simcha. They will turn into Yamim Tovim. It's going to be earmarked. All of the Taniyot are going to be turned into Yamim Tovim, days of celebrations. Chodesh Av, which houses Tisha B'Av, which is going to be a Yom Simcha, it's going to be turned from the saddest month of the year, it's going to be turned into the month where we celebrate the Geulah, where we celebrate the Beit HaMikdash. Whenever the Geulah happens, Chodesh Av is going to be earmarked, it's going to turn into even a more joyous month than Adar Nisan. Can you imagine? That's what Chodesh Av is going to be. It's a big thing. But you have to live it. In order to appreciate it, you have to live it from now. And that's the only way to do that is through Torah Mitzvot. Thank you for coming. Don't forget Barachot HaChanunot. And hopefully we should gather in more Shmachot. Thank you.